Welcome to Tales of Ted DeGrazia, a Big Blend radio podcast covering the art, life, and career of Southwest artist Ted DeGrazia, as well as the current events and exhibits happening at DeGrazia Gallery in the Sun. It's a 10-acre National Historic Landmark located in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Tales of Ted DeGrazia show, where every fourth Sunday we get to chat with Lance Labor, the Tucson dude, who is the executive director of DeGrazia Gallery in the Sun in Tucson, Arizona. And, you know, Ted DeGrazia is a famous Southwest artist and known also as one of the most reproduced artists in the world. And his gallery is a 10-acre historic landmark. It is beautiful. You can see the Santa Catalina Mountains. There's beautiful cactus gardens. There's definitely architecture there. It's the gallery itself is adobe style, and it's got unique things like cholla cactus floors. And it's also got the little chapel, like not the chapel, the mission. Why did I say the little chapel? It's a little chapel in the desert, Lance. Welcome back, by the way. How are you?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I don't think Ted DeGrazia would like me saying the little chapel. It's the mission. That's the mission.
It's the mission in the sun, but, you know, we slip sometimes and call it the little chapel. I mean, it kind of is what it is.
Well, because the people do get married there, right? You do have like small weddings there.
People get married, and they have memorials there, and you know, it's just used as a little church year round.
Well, this is important to bring up because we'll talk about the little gallery too. But also, when you go to the gallery, which is a museum, there's a permanent exhibitions that you can see, and then there's a rotating exhibits, and that's what we're going to talk about is the new exhibits that just went on display. One of them, though, is a mainstay that happens every year. And Lance, if Lance does not put this exhibit up, he gets flooded with emails and phone calls of major complaints. And this is the exhibit, it's The Way of the Cross. And so can we touch on that, The Way of the Cross, that exhibit, and then it kind of leads to the importance of why you have the mission in the sun and even, you know, the nuns' quarters. There's the nuns' quarters on the property, too.
Yeah. Well, when DeGrazia was really young, his family went back to Italy. And there he was exposed to religious art. I mean, he was just a kid, but the years that he was there, he became kind of enamored with religious art, and that's what kind of started. He was very he was a religious man in his own way. He really wasn't a church going man, so he built his own church. And what that was about.
So he did his own. And then there's like the mission in the sun. Doesn't that also connect to maybe some of his trips going to Mexico and then also his fascination and love for, you know, Father Kino?
Yeah. Well, actually, it is a tradition in Mexico. When you become a landowner, when you buy property, your first thing you're supposed to do is build a church on your property to give thanks. And that's what that was all about. That's what brought that about. And, of course, he was very – he loved Father Kino. So he dedicated it to Our Lady of Guadalupe or to Father Kino in honor of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Mm. And so that's on the property. So when you go there, it's beautiful. I love it in there. And the Way of the Cross exhibition, this is a big deal. You do get those complaints if you don't do it. So it's like a every year, winter through spring, this is a big deal.
They chase me around. See, the visitors that used to come it was a permanent exhibit. He never took it down. It was always up. And we just have too much art that hasn't been seen. And so what I decided to do was take it down from being a permanent exhibit and turning it into more of a special exhibit, put it up just before Lent and run it through Easter, and leave it up usually a month or two after, so that all the snowbirds can see it, and I take much less guff.
That's it. So, but that's a big deal though, and so everyone, that's something that's out now. So you can see that through Lent pretty much, right? You keep it up there, pretty
Easter.
much
Yep.
through Easter. Okay. So
Actually, we leave it up a little longer, that so people, if they come late, they get to see it.
and isn't there like an audio recording that you can listen to while you're there during the
Yes.
through the exhibit?
Yeah. DiGrazia narrates the story of the Way of the Cross himself. And it's really interesting. I mean, the story of him doing the Way of the Cross, the paintings, was an interesting story too. I don't know if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I do.
So there's a Catholic center at the University of Arizona called the Newman Center. And the priest at the Newman Center, obviously DiGrazia had graduated from University of Arizona, so he was well known. And the priest approached him and said, "DiGrazia, would you paint the Way of the Cross, the Stations of the Cross?" And in the beginning, DiGrazia said, "You know what? No. I'm not going to do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy of doing this." And I think he really meant it. He really didn't feel that he was good enough. But the priest persisted and said, "Oh, come on, take a shot at it. You're way better than you come off." And so DiGrazia did it. And he knocked it out of the park. He hit a home run. It's just a beautiful series. And he actually added an extra station at the end of Jesus rising. And so it's just a really, really popular thing. DiGrazia allowed the Newman Center, he gave them these things to put up. And they put them up, and I think they were up for about a year until they found out what the collection was worth, and they couldn't afford the insurance on it, and they freaked out and said, "Oh, DiGrazia, we can't afford this. You need to take them back." So he took them back and gave them prints, so they have reproductions that are put up. And that's the story of the Way of the Cross.
So he, and here it is with his reproductions, right? Being so big with that. And I wanted to touch on his education, which, we were talking about, him being in Mexico. He famously studied under Diego Rivera and Jose Orozco.
Clemente Orozco, right?
Yeah, that, and so, he did all that, but then he also put himself through college, right? Through university, and that's where his music comes in. He was playing in a band to fund and worked as a landscaper to actually fund his schooling.
Yeah, he worked during the day. He planted trees at the U of A, and he was like the yard guy. Helped build the wall around the university. There's a big lava rock wall that goes all the way around the school. It's huge, and he helped build that. And that's how he put himself through school.
Wow. And then I know that one of the new exhibits is his master's thesis. And this was a big deal with what he did, because doesn't it have to do with color and music being put together?
Okay, so his master's thesis was the relationship of color to sound. And he would play classical music and paint it, Rachmaninoff, Shostakovich, all of that. And he did half half of the thesis was done in oil, and the other half was done in watercolors. I think he did a total of about 30 paintings. He did about 15 oils and about 15 watercolors. And very interesting. They're really interesting paintings, and those are the ones that are going up.
Wow. Wow. And
We've only
didn't he?
showed them a couple of times over the years, so
Yeah.
it's about time.
But he actually did this as his thesis, like it was an actual paper
Oh
called Art
yeah.
and
Yeah,
its
no,
relation to music. It's part
this
of
was
music
his
education.
master's.
Yeah,
Correct.
and he tested over 350 students at the U of A, getting them to do
Well,
it, making them listen to the music and paint.
yes, he did that, but then he devised a test that he gave to students, and that's going to be shown, that's going to be put up. And he also had this machine. He had this giant machine with blinking lights and all this craziness that I wish we still had it today. We have some pictures of it, but it's one of the only things. Degrassi has saved everything, and whatever happened to this machine is a mystery because it's nowhere to be found. And it would be really interesting to have it. We have a couple pictures of him sitting at it, with the
Yeah.
lights blinking and
Like a mad scientist. You know, this machine thing. I interviewed a musician a couple years ago, and he does this with his music. And the lights flash, he attaches it to plants, like little wires to plants. So you can actually hear like the heartbeat of a plant, right? And then, so the heart, like you can see the plant's heartbeat, basically. I'm just saying it in a very, I wish he was on the show right now. He can explain it better than me for sure. But a plant is a living thing. It's a living organism. So there's a movement, right? So the lights would blink with the plant movement. Then he would play music, right? And then the lights would change
Right.
according to the music on the plants, because of how the plants were soaking up the music. Is that
Oh,
crazy?
cool.
And so
Yeah,
anyway, I
that's
was
pretty
interviewing
neat.
him. I was thinking of Degrassi the whole time, going, Degrassi would flip out, dude. I could imagine if like what we have now in technology, like Degrassi would be out there in saguaro cactus and all the trees, like, let's do this. You know what I mean? And then could you imagine his paintings from that? Like what we have now and going from what he was doing then. I mean, that was in the mid-40s, right? To now. I mean, it's pretty amazing what technology has done, but this is a science that I think even the time frame he did it, there was that book, The Secret Life of Plants, that came out, which is one of my favorite books on the planet, because it is about, it's crazy. And some of it's been debunked, but I don't believe in the debunking. I'm still a staunch believer in plants having their own minds. But I would love to have. I just have a funny feeling that he would get into that. You know what I mean? About that connection. And Nancy's always been that
It's
way too,
all it
about
was
music and
all up
color.
his alley, all of that stuff.
Well,
He was a very creative guy.
color does something. Nancy, I know we've talked about this exhibit before. Nancy, as a painter, she's like, color represents different emotions. And so does music. So it makes sense what he's doing with that in regards to the color, the sound, what you're hearing, what you're painting, what colors you're using. But I want to know about that machine. That's some weird science stuff, man. That's cool. He's a
Well,
mad scientist.
I'll see if I can send you a picture of it.
Yeah, it's yeah, you know, it's kind of, oh, I found one. That's crazy. There's one on Wikipedia of him.
Yeah, there is. That
Yeah, and
that's
it's
the
got this
that's the
big,
photo we have.
yeah, that's like a big cellophane purpley thing. Dude, that's crazy. It's cool, man. I love this. I want to come
Yeah,
see this. We're going to have,
I wish I knew where it was.
yeah, I wonder, huh? I hope he didn't
I mean,
burn it when he
something
was
that
burning his
big,
paintings.
just disappears, you know. Who knows? One of the
Hey, I'm on
mysteries
the.
of Ted DeGrazia.
Well, hey, here's another thing that's new that I didn't know. Okay, being on the Wikipedia page, that's like a rabbit hole. I didn't know he was on the Today Show and, interviewed on the Today Show with that dude. Now I recognize that dude. Who is he? The guy with the big mustache.
What?
Oh, man. Yeah. He was,
He
wow, look at him.
was on the Today Show, and he did a pastel. He did a chalk painting of a, I believe it was a little girl. And we have it, you know, we have it in the collection. And you know, NBC, done on NBC Today Show, first thing in the morning.
Wow. Oh, he had to be there first thing in the morning. Huh? He
Yeah,
probably
well, you
was, but
know,
the
that was in his heyday. That's when he, you know, was quite famous, and people knew who he was. And you know, it's been many, many years. I don't even
wow.
remember the date of that.
Now I'm like, it is a rabbit hole now, because now I'm seeing, like, we've talked about him, being friends with, famous people like Lee Marvin. And but I didn't know he was friends with Olaf Weghorst, which is Olaf is like one of the most, I mean, he's got his own museum in San Diego
Right.
County, which
Yeah,
I've been to. It's
they were big
amazing.
friends.
Wow.
Yeah,
And
they were big friends.
Thomas Hart Benton, we've done probably three shows on Thomas Hart Benton, and he was just such a huge, because he was about being regionalist. And I think DeGrazia, you've got, I never really thought of that, but DeGrazia is, because of his Southwest approach to his art and telling the story of the people and the land. So he is actually a regionalist. I wonder, God, could you imagine a conversation between those two artists? Holy cow,
Well,
that would be
they were
insane.
also really good friends. Thomas Hart Benton did a painting of DeGrazia. DeGrazia did a painting of Thomas Hart Benton.
What?
Yeah, no, there was a lot of communication, and they were friends. They were good friends.
That's crazy. I did not know that one. There's always something new when you come on. And Iron Eyes Cody, by the way, too. That's cool. He's cool.
Ice Cody, right.
Yep. That's amazing. And look at that one actress. Okay, this is crazy. That's a rabbit hole. But okay, let's go back to the regionalism, right? So one of the other new exhibits that's out now, everyone, it just went up, is about the Tohono O'odham Rodeo. Number one, the Tohono O'odham people, that's the local Tucson tribe, right?
Yeah, there's two tribes. There's the Tohono O'odham. They were formerly known as the Papago Indians. And then they just took on their own name instead of using the ones that the Spanish gave them. And then the Yaqui Indians, who are from Mexico. So there's two tribes in Tucson.
Yeah. And so now the
And
rodeo.
DeGrazia was really close to both tribes. And the rodeo, there's a rodeo in Sells, Arizona, where Sells is on the reservation, the Tohono reservation, just south of Tucson. And so they have a rodeo every year. They do a rodeo, and it was something he used to like to go to. And it's very interesting, you know. The series is beautiful. I love it.
So,
You know, there's. Go
I
ahead,
was
I'm
gonna
sorry.
say, is it different than the one, because you have a rodeo section in the permanent collection? So this is different, or is it expanded, the same one?
We really don't have a rodeo section in the permanent. No, this
Oh.
is something we put up occasionally. I mean, DeGrazia,
Okay.
we do have the bullfight. Maybe you confuse
Oh,
that with the
that's what I'm
bullfight.
thinking of. That's right. That's what I'm thinking of, is the bullfight. Okay, that's right. The bullfight's in the permanent collection, so the rodeo is different. I might have seen it one year when it came out to the gallery.
I think we've had it up maybe once in the last 20 years.
Wow. And the
I don't know
Tucson
what
Rodeo
now.
happens this time of year too, doesn't it? Like in the winter, spring, the Tucson
Yes, it
Rodeo.
does. Yes, it does. But they're two different rodeos. The Tucson Rodeo is completely different from the Tohono O'odham Rodeo.
Okay, that makes sense. That does. So his paintings, so that's the whole series of the Tohono, because it is that it's different how the Native Americans did a rodeo versus, the Anglos, even.
Well, the Tucson Rodeo is just this huge thing where they have a parade, and it's a major thing every year. The Tohono O'odham Rodeo, I mean, it's held on the reservation, and people go, lots of people go, but it's not quite as big as the actual Tucson Rodeo. And as far as I know, it's mostly Tohono O'odham participants. It's not like cowboys coming from all over the country. It's their own rodeo.
That's cool. So those are the new exhibits. The other thing I wanted to bring up too is that the little gallery is still going. That's something that happens every winter through spring through April. I think you have artists visiting resident, like artists in residence almost, right? And sometimes they're
Right.
painting in there so you can get a little bit of a demonstration too.
Yeah, they everybody comes, they get 2 weeks to show and sell their work, and a lot of them work in there, and so that's what's going on now. There is a I gee, I'm sorry, I don't know her name. There's two ceramicists in there now
Oh, cool.
showing
Yeah,
their
because it
work.
it's all, yeah, and everybody, if you go to degrazia.org, you can get the information on the exhibits we're talking about. Also get information about the little gallery, so you can see that and all of the events that happen. But the little gallery is it is neat that I think, that it's almost like his way. Was he doing that, the visiting artist, before he passed away? Or is that something that the foundation
No,
decided to do?
no. Yeah, it was closed. And then after DeGrazia died, Mrs. DeGrazia, Marion DeGrazia, decided that she wanted to open it up and help, struggling artists. She remembers exactly what her life was like and what his life was like when they were, starting out and really trying to make it. And so she felt a little responsibility to try to help out other artists, and it's been going on since 1983, 82 or 83. It's been going on a long
And
time.
yeah, I want to say the ceramic artist was Carla Prinster and Carrie Wilson. That close
Thank
is
you.
closing as of but I know as we're recording this a little bit, before the air date here, and as of today's show, that's airing now, starting Sunday, every fourth Sunday, right? We've got Kristen Harvey. She's a two-dimensional flora and fauna artist, depicting the Sonoran Desert. Then mid-February, you have John George, who does three-dimensional crystalline glazed porcelain. Then the end of February into the beginning of March, you have D. Ruff, who does two and three-dimensional color field contemporary abstract mosaic mixed media. That's a mouthful. That's cool. And then middle of March, you've got Chip Travers, two-dimensional Southern Arizona culture. And then the end of March to April 5th, when that's the end of the little gallery for the season, you have Charlie Gaskill, who does two-dimensional color black and white photographs of elements of the Sonoran Desert. So do you have repeat artists that come in, or is it always someone new, or people just like, hey, I want to come back and do it again?
well, people, once they've had 2 weeks in there, they love it. And of course, there's not a one of them that wouldn't want to just say, "Hey, I want this gallery for my own. I want to be here permanently." We make them wait 3 or 4 years in between shows so that other people can have a chance.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Well, hey everyone, it's the season to go to the gallery. It is beautiful, and I know Arizona is getting a little bit of rain, which is great. And then February, March is when I think your cactus garden starts to bloom a little bit. It's starting in February, depending on the weather, right? February, March, maybe
Yep.
more March. Yep, beautiful
Yeah,
time. And then,
around springtime.
yep, and then April, May. May starts with the saguaro blossoms. Ooh. I do miss those saguaro blooms, man. And then watching the doves get in there, and I miss it. That's the thing. I miss saguaro cactus. Traveling across the country, that's the one thing. It's like you look out windows, like, where's my saguaro? It's part of
I'll
the
send you a
element.
picture.
Thank you. But hey, DeGrazia painted a lot of them, and he did that. The remember that one exhibit you did where it showed the ceramics he did as well. Of the saguaro cactus. You remember those
Yep,
like
the
almost like a
cactus
bowl.
bowls.
Yeah, that's
Yep.
cool. That's cool. Well, everyone, again, we're here every fourth Sunday talking about Ted DeGrazia, and there's always something new to learn about this man. And the best thing though is to go to the gallery itself. It is open. You're open almost every day, right? Pretty much.
We are open every
Yeah.
day.